Question often comes to our mind, how did we end up here? I don't mean in the material world, that's also a big question. But how did we end up here in the Hare Krishna temple? How did we all end up here in the movement? How did we all end up with Krishna consciousness on this path? There are, Neela Madhava was telling me, there's 1 million people in Kollam, is it? Maybe more. Out of all those millions of people, how is it that we all ended up here? How is it that we know about Krishna? How is it that we're trying to go back to the spiritual world? Anyone want to give any answer? Why do you think you're here and others are not here? Don't be humble. You just can say it. Yes.
I think it's because of mercy.
You got mercy. Yes. Yes, mercy. Yes. Any other reason why we might be here? Yeah. Jyoti Prabhu from Mayapur. Okay, he's naming a specific devotee. Yeah. Okay, wonderful. Yeah, a devotee. Yeah.
I'm here because I felt I can be happy.
But why didn't you try to be happy somewhere else? Why is it that you got that conviction that happiness is here?
I failed someday.
Okay, so you're here because everything else failed. No, it's like that. Sometimes in our life we think, oh my God, I tried everything else. Let's at least try the Hare Krishnas out, see what happens there, you know. Yeah, we all have, there are different reasons why we come here. But the scriptures actually explain there's one main reason why we're here, why we're on this path. So let's read. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, 19th chapter, which is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions to Rupa Goswami, and this is text number 151. So if you have a phone, Madhya Leela, 19th chapter, text number 151. If you don't have it, text, no problem, I will go slow. So this is a very, very famous verse that Srila Prabhupada quoted many, many times. Brahmande Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. Very simple. You want to repeat after me, line by line?
Yeah.
Yeah? Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. Brahmande Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. Brahmande Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. It's good sometimes to just, without looking at the, just to try to remember from hearing the sound vibration. If you memorize a verse just from the sound vibration, you will never forget it, actually. Because actually in ancient spiritual culture, Sanskrit, it was never taught through writing, actually. It was taught simply by someone reciting, and then someone hearing, reciting, hearing, reciting. Therefore, Sanskrit knowledge is known as Shruti. Understand? Shruti means that which is heard. So hearing is very, very powerful. I remember once we were stuck in a traffic jam in the motorway, and one devotee decided to teach us a verse from the Bhagavad Gita. So none of us had books, so he said, I will read it and everyone else should just recite. So we did like that for 15 minutes. And we memorized the verse in 15 minutes. The amazing thing is, I heard that verse 15 years later and I still remembered it. After hearing the first line, it just immediately it came to my mind. Because that's the power, if you learn just by hearing, it's very, very wonderful. But it's okay. If you have a mobile phone, you can use it. Yukta Vairagya. Okay, so translation, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering through the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to the upper planetary systems, and some are going down into the lower planetary systems. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with the bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the kripa of devotional service. So I'll read the first paragraph of the purport and then we'll have a discussion. And then we'll continue. When we speak of Brahmanda, we refer to the whole universe or to the cluster of many millions of universes. In all the universes, there are innumerable planets and there are innumerable living entities upon those planets. In the air, on the land, and in the water, there are millions and trillions of living entities everywhere, and they are engaged by Maya in suffering and enjoying the results of their fruitive activity, life after life. This is the position of the materially conditioned living entities. Out of many of these living entities, one who is actually fortunate, Bhagyavan, comes into contact with the bona fide spiritual master by Krishna's mercy. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadeshatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One of the first teachings of the spiritual literature is that this life we are living is just one chapter. We've all been here before. Maybe you were in Cologne before, but maybe you were not in Cologne, but you were somewhere in the material world, because this life is just one chapter. Therefore, we are coming into this life with karma. Karma means all the reactions that we are supposed to get in this life depending on what we've done in previous lives. Sometimes they make a joke. There's a new restaurant in town. It's called Karma. But there's no menu. You get what you deserve. So life is like that. There's no menu. You can't always choose, because there is karma. All of us have some karma, isn't it? Sometimes when we do book distribution, we stop people and we ask them, how's your karma? I'm saying, good, some bad. Broadly speaking, you know how to understand your karma? How to understand whether you have good karma or bad karma? There's four broad things which tell you whether you have good karma or bad karma. You know what those are? Janmeshwarya Shruta Shribir Edhama Namada Puman. The first indicator of your karma is Janma, the family you were born in, the situation you were born in, because that sets the foundation for your whole life. So if you were born in a good family, with a good parents, with a good upbringing, then that means you have some good karma. So that if one has that, they should feel grateful. I have some good karma. The second thing is Aishwarya. Isn't it? You know, Bollywood. Aishwarya. Aishwarya means, what does Aishwarya mean? Yeah, wealth, opulence. If you have some money, if you have some wealth, if you have material possessions. Yeah, isn't it? For some people, money just comes to them. Even they don't try, even they're lazy, even they misspend their money, somehow money keeps coming to them. And other people are generally complete opposite. They're the ones that end up usually in the Hare Krishna movement. Many times. So if you have good opulence, then you can understand good karma, good karma. Then third thing, Janma Aishwarya Shruta. What does Shruta mean? I just said Shruti. Yeah, remembrance. And in this context, Shruta means education or intellectual capacity. Isn't there? Some people have a capacity to learn, very intelligent, very wise. This is a result of good karma. And final thing, Shri.
Krishna.
Krishna. Krishna is the ultimate. Shri Krishna. But what does Shri mean? Yes, that's a name for Lakshmi Devi. But literally, Shri means?
Fortune.
Not exactly. Shrimad. It means beauty. Beautiful. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the most beautiful? Love them all. So if you have some beauty, if you have a good physical attraction, yes, to others, then that is considered a result of good karma. So now you can go home and mark yourself out of 100 on each of these four things. And then you can begin to understand how much good karma you have. Now let me ask you, does karma make you happy? Does good karma make you happy? Is it?
Yes, sure. For some time.
For some time. If you're born in a good family, of course, that brings something. For some time. But then you see, sometimes people who are born in very good families, they end up in very bad places, unhappy. Sometimes the most beautiful people in the world are happiest, is it? The ones who have the most money? Even the most intelligent people, they're sometimes the most frustrated people. So at some point we realize that even if you have all good karma, it doesn't make you happy. But by our karma, Chaitanya Charitamrita is saying we're all going in different places, different planets, different bodies according to our karmic credit. So you're all here in, to some extent in this situation because of karmic credit. But then what happens, somewhere on your journey, something happens, some special thing happens which makes you turn towards Krishna. For the most part, 99.9% of the souls in the material world are looking away from Krishna. Krishna bahir mukha hoya bhoga vanchakare nikata stamaya tare japati adhare. Shastra says, Krishna bahir mukha, as soon as you look away from Krishna, hoya bhoga vanchakare, and you try to be happy separate from Krishna, nikata sta, close by. Who comes close by? Maya tare. Maya comes, illusion comes, japati adhare, and covers you. So most living entities in this world are covered by maya, by illusion. And therefore they're wandering in this material world, but they're not sure where they're going, what's happening, what's the goal of life. So when one becomes very, very fortunate, then what does this verse say happens? What is the sign that a jiva has become very, very fortunate? What happens? Yes, Alexei.
Just enters on a jiva, meets a spiritual master.
Yes, Guru Krishna Prasade by Bhakti Lata Beach, by the co-joint mercy of Krishna and a spiritual master, one receives the seed of devotion. So why are all of us here in the Krishna consciousness movement? Because we're carrying on from a previous life. But in the previous life, how did you begin there? Because in a previous life before that, we had started. But when you trace it back, there has to be a starting point. What was the starting point of your journey? And the starting point of your journey is that somehow or other, a devotee appeared in your life somewhere along the line. And devotees are dangerous. They're very dangerous in a good way, in a spiritual way. Because when you come in contact with a devotee, then what do they give you? They give you the Bhakti Lata beach. They introduce you to Krishna. They introduce you to devotional service. And they introduce you to how to make your way back to the spiritual world. So basically for all of us, at some point you met a devotee. And you begun the path. But most likely for most of us, in a previous life, we went so far, but we didn't get perfection. When I came to the movement, one devotee said to me, there's good news and bad news. The good news is you've been doing this before. The bad news is you messed it up. Therefore you had to come back. So most likely all of us in this room were practicing Krishna consciousness somewhere in a previous life. Yeah. Is there anyone in the room who can remember their previous life? It happens sometimes. People have visions of their previous life. But you can share with us later, Satish. Remember, this is on video.
Question was like, they say we take 64,000, 84,000 lives before being born as a human. So, when we are, you know, single cellular or two cellular organization, sorry, how do we kind of...
What's the process by which we come up? Okay, process. I'll come to that question, yeah. So, let me just finish this point and I'll come to that question. I'll repeat it and come back. So all of us were practicing somewhere along the line. So the beginning of devotional service, Krishna Bhakti Janma Mula Hoya Sadhu Sangh. The beginning of devotional service is that you meet a devotee and the devotee gives you the seed of bhakti. And then when we get the seed of bhakti, Shravana Kirtana Jale Koriye Sechan, by the watering process of hearing and chanting, that seed of devotion is growing within us. So all of us have become gardeners. Do you like gardening? You are a gardener now, because the seed of devotion has come into your heart and now you're developing that seed of devotion. So today we're remembering that the devotees are the ones who begin our spiritual journey. Coming back to Satish's question, he is asking that there are 8.4 million species of life. So is it that we have to go through all of the species and then come to the human form to take up spiritual life? And what is the process by which we're going from one form to another? This is a very good question. So generally the scripture is saying that most of us have to go through the different species of life. And what is the process by which you go from one species to another is simply automatic. Because generally in life forms lower than the human form of life, the free will is there but it's not developed enough to make decisions and discriminate on higher topics. And therefore what is happening is one is a plant and then automatically once they live out that life, then you automatically go to the next level. Then you automatically, so you can understand, it takes a long time. Of course, somewhere along the journey, if you get some mercy, you can, you know, for example, if you're, a worm in Cologne city center or something, and the devotees are on Harinam and one of them steps on you, then maybe you get some extra elevation, you know, shortcut. But generally, you have to go through the species. But then, durlabha manava janma labhya samsare. When you get the human form, here it says manushya janama jaat, this is a very, very rare opportunity, because now you have a human form, now it depends on you where you will go next. In other forms of life it was automatic, but now you're a human, it depends. According to your decisions, you go up or you go down. And therefore the human form of life carries great responsibility. They say in the material world, with power comes great responsibility. So now you have the power to make decisions. Therefore Shastra tells you, Athato Brahma Jigyasa. Now you have the human form, you have to take this opportunity. Because if you don't, then again you'll go down and then you'll have to come back step by step. So generally they say there are three routes by which you get into the human form. You know the three routes? One route is through the monkey species. This is because monkeys are more in the mode of ignorance. Yeah, so that's one route generally by which you come into the human form. The other route by which you come into the human form is like tigers or lions. This is like the mode of passion route to human form. And there's one more route to the human form through the cows. So this is said to be the mode of goodness coming in like this. But it can be in many ways, but so there is like that. Does it make sense?
Absolutely, Maharaj. Thank you.
Yes.
Maharaj, I heard also about this cow in the mode of goodness, but that's what I was not able to understand. So it's also possible human can come from either of these three, but also through the evolution.
Yeah, when we say it comes through the cow, actually more accurately is described like this. When there's a human and predominantly their mode of nature is goodness, then it can be understood that they've come through that route. Okay. And like that. So it's not necessarily like the cow human. It's not like, but it means they've come through that trajectory.
So that is the background of him coming most times.
Yeah. Of course, there are exceptions, but yeah.
And the other path is the mercy of devotees on any species.
Yeah, I mean, of course, if one gets the mercy, some special... That's why devotees are always looking to give mercy to the, you know... Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was feeding the dog, isn't it? The dog that was with Shivananda Sen. And Mahaprabhu was feeding, and then later on that dog just immediately got another body. So yeah, devotees, they give the mercy. One time I saw a devotee, he went to a tree and he offered the whole tree in front of Krishna. He said, like, not just pick an apple and offer one apple. He said, I'll offer the whole tree. So yes, devotees like that, they try to give the mercy. Yeah, so it can be through mercy. Mataji, you wanted to ask them? Oh, I thought you had your hand up. No.
No, I had a question.
Oh, you had a question. Okay. Do you want to ask?
Yeah, maybe. Because if maybe it is also mercy, maybe we have got a piece of prasadam in previous lives. Could it be? Or
yes, and where did that mercy come from? And where did that mercy come from?
Yeah.
A devotee. A devotee. So in a book called the Madhurya Kadambini, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur asked the question, how did we begin devotional service? So his first answer that he gives, he says, by some good fortune. But then he's not specific enough. Can you be more specific? What is the good fortune? So then he says, okay, maybe we came to devotional service because we did many good pious activities, isn't it? We gave a lot of charity, we did a lot of good things for other people. But then he says, no, I don't think this can be the cause of devotional service, because pious activity is material and bhakti is spiritual. So how can something material cause something spiritual? So he says, no, I don't think this is the answer. Then he says, maybe we began devotional service because we got Krishna's mercy. But then he says, I don't think this also is the answer. Because what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? samoham sarvabhuteshu name dvesho stina prayaha. He says, I am equal to everyone. So if it was the case that we began devotional service because of Krishna's mercy, then everyone should be a devotee because Krishna gives his mercy to everyone. So then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, no, I don't even think it's Krishna's mercy. Then he says, I know, it's the devotee's mercy. Because the devotees, they are allowed to discriminate. They see who's open, who's enthusiastic, and then the devotee goes. So he says, yes, it is the devotee's mercy which helps us to actually begin our journey. And then he says, no, actually, there's something even more confidential than that. What do you think the deeper reason is why a devotee gives you their mercy?
His causeless mercy.
Yes. He says, because there is bhakti residing in the heart of a devotee. And the heart, the bhakti, the devotion in the heart of the devotee impels them to then give that mercy to others. So where does bhakti come from?
Bhakti.
The only thing that can produce bhakti is bhakti. And that's the conclusion of our acharyas in terms of how we begin this devotional process. So we are all very, very fortunate. Yes, okay.
Maharaji, how come that only few people accept that mercy? Is that also some reason?
Yes, very good point. So the devotees are giving mercy to everyone. When you go out into Cologne city center and you do a Harinam, thousands of people are hearing. So how is it that you got attracted but other people didn't get attracted? Because Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says some are more receptive than others. So imagine there are different two pieces of wood. And one wood is very, very dry. And another wood is very wet. Then imagine I put a lighter. Even though I put the lighter under the wet wood, it won't stay alight. But as soon as one spark on the dry wood comes, boom, it goes. But even doesn't matter how dry the wood is, still it can't catch fire unless there's a spark. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says some are like dry wood and most are like wet wood. So what does it mean to be dry wood? It means in your previous lives or in your journey in this world, you did many activities, good activities, pious activities, and that made you more receptive. But that in itself can't create bhakti, but it can make you more receptive. But then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, if a devotee comes who's very powerful, then even though many people may be unreceptive, still by the blazing flat fire of that devotee's devotion, even the unreceptive can take up spiritual life. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada came. And one time a devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, like, Srila Prabhupada, what did we do to have this opportunity? What created our good, what did we do to get this? Prabhupada said, you didn't do anything. I was your good fortune. So many are not receptive, but because a very, very powerful devotee is coming, then they immediately become overpowered by that. So yes, we have to make people receptive. We have to be receptive. You had a question, Pooh, yes?
Is Jiva traveling from one universe to another, or we are staying in the same universe for the...
Is a Jiva traveling from one universe to another, or is a Jiva staying within the same universe and going on their journey? Yeah, nice, good tune. That's fine. No problem, we're relaxed. depends. The jiva goes wherever there is a suitable situation for them to live their next chapter of karma. So if in this universe there is a suitable type of body, a suitable place, a suitable time for them to be born, then it may be in this universe, it may be in another universe. Therefore jivas are also going. Sometimes people say, I can prove to you reincarnation doesn't exist. I said, how? They said, because the human population is increasing. I said, that's not good logic. Because it could mean souls are coming from other universes, but you also don't know the population of the plants, the population of the animals. So the fact that human being population is going up or down means nothing. So souls, they can go through species of life, they can go from different planets, they can go to different universes, wherever is a suitable place for them to get the experience required. Basically, when you're born into a situation that is specifically arranged by Krishna, because it's the perfect situation for you from which to advance in your Krishna consciousness. The people around you, the amount of opulence around you, the place where you are, is all arranged by Krishna. It's not random. But it's difficult for us to accept that. Like if I asked you, let's do a survey in the room, who is so happy with their life that they would not like to change one thing at all? Anyone? No, we think, it's nice, but maybe I could have a bit more of this, or maybe if this person wasn't there, or maybe if I, you know, could solve this problem. But even all the problems, all the people, even the ones you don't like, all of that is arranged by Krishna to give us a certain lessons of life so that we can move forward. So yeah, Krishna is arranging everything for us. He is... He says in Bhagavad Gita, Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridaye se arjuna tisthati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudhani mayaya. Krishna says, I'm in the heart of all living entities and I'm directing the wanderings of everyone. So Krishna is like, just like Krishna was on the battlefield and he was Arjuna's charioteer, isn't it? So Krishna is everyone's charioteer because he's in the heart and he's guiding us from place to place, Paramatma. Yeah. So like this, we are moving. So we have become very, very fortunate. To be born and have an opportunity to be in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is a great fortune. Because as we were mentioning yesterday, this is the most advanced theology. This process has the ability, has the potential to take you into the playground of God. This process has the power to bring you closer to God in the relationship of deep love and intimacy that perhaps was never so easily given access to anyone before. So this is a very, very special path, the path of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this world we find there are many sampradayas and many, many different teachings, and all of them come from God, you know. There are Vaishnava sampradayas, there are also other teachings in Sanatana Dharma, and all of them are giving us elevation. But what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sampradaya is doing is it is bringing you into the inner life of God. Some know of God in a very formal way. Some know of God as the controller, as the creator. Some know of God as the one who can fulfill our desires. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us that God is very, very sweet. He's your best friend. You can run with Him. You can dance with Him. You can wrestle with Him. You can eat lunch with Him. He's always there with you, and he's very, very charming, he's very, very sweet, he's very, very kind. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu helps us to understand that we have a beautifully close relationship that sometimes other religions don't necessarily bring us into, that kind of intimacy of God's circle. So we've been given something very, very great. But now the question is, will we be able to really appreciate it? Are we really grateful? Like, say for example, I have this iPhone, okay? There are only two ways I can develop appreciation for this iPhone. Do you know how?
By
fully utilizing it. If I fully utilize and I learn all the apps, all the different functions and, you know, WhatsApp and all of those things, then I'll feel, yes, this is very useful, I appreciate, I can't live without this. What's the other way you will appreciate your iPhone?
By using it.
By losing it. There's only two ways of appreciating this: if you fully utilize it, or if you lose it. So you want to know the two ways in which you will gain appreciation for Krishna consciousness? Option number one, fully practice it. Option number two, lose it. And if you lose it, then eventually in your life, later on, you will realize, oh my God, I had such an amazing opportunity, but I didn't utilize it properly, I wasted it. And that will give you appreciation, but you will have wasted a lot of time. So, whenever we receive something, we always have to try to show our appreciation and develop our gratitude for that thing that we've realized. And if you want to develop gratitude for something, then it means, number one, you have to recognize what you've received. Number two, you have to remember constantly what you've received. And the third very important thing is you have to reciprocate with what you've received. So if you want to really understand the depth of this gift of being able to practice spiritual life, first you have to recognize it, so that's why we're talking. But then the second thing is, every day we have to wake up and remember, I have such a great opportunity. After many, many lifetimes of going in many, many places, trying many, many things to be happy and being frustrated, finally I've come to the point where I'm on the gates of the spiritual world, I'm nearly there. And then, third thing is, we have to reciprocate. We have to do something. We have to take it up. We can't just be casual. Prabhupada said, casual means casualty. If you're casual in spiritual life, eventually you'll become a casualty. So we have to reciprocate, we have to try to give more effort, we have to try to give more time, we have to try to give more service, and we have to try not to always say, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it next week, I'll do it when this problem gets sorted out, I'll do it when that gets finished in my life, then I'll take it. I'm coming, Krishna, I'm coming, I'm just now coming. In life, things never get sorted out, sorry to tell you that. There will always be something in your life that's not perfect. So if you say, yeah, I will do it, I just need to sort out this one thing. Even if you sort out that one thing, probably what will happen is another thing will come up. Once there's a story, Srila Prabhupada was in a traffic jam. And in the traffic jam, then they looked out of the window and there was a sign and it said, road works. Temporary inconvenience, permanent improvements. So Prabhupada looked at it and he started laughing. And he said, material world means temporary improvements, permanent inconvenience. Mamupetya punarjanma dukhalayam shashvatam napnivanti mahatmana samsiddhim paramamgata. Krishna says, dukhalayam shashvatam. In this world, everything is always changing, everything is always upside down, everything is always bringing some kind of discomfort. It's just the nature of life. After all, we're in a prison, isn't it? Imagine if you're in the prison and then you call, you knock on the cell, you say, call the prison guard, you say, there's some mistake here. The door is jammed. The door is not opening. Can you bring the, you know, you need to put some oil in the door, it's not opening. No. You're in jail. Jail means the door's closed. Or if he knocks on the, you know, and he calls the guard, oh no, guard, please come, there's some mistake, no one's bringing a menu every day, they're just bringing me the same food every day, there's some mistake. No, in jail there's no menu. You just eat what you get. So we think, no, Krishna, there's some mistake here, there's so many problems. No, it's the material world. That's how it is. That's what it's meant for. So you have to learn to live with the chaos of the material world. It's never perfect. There'll always be some crisis, health crisis, relationship crisis, economic crisis. You know, some problem, family crisis, some problem, some difficulty. So we just have to continue on. We have to practice Krishna consciousness because this is the ultimate fortune that's been given to us. And this is what Srila Prabhupada is explaining in this purport. Let me just stop there and see whether anyone has any questions before I read further. Anyone would like to ask anything? Yes?
What about the concept when we start to practice Krishna consciousness that we are doing like small steps which are, yeah, you know, like appropriate, it's something like the jump or like...
That's good. The main thing is progress is sometimes more important than perfection. So every day if you're progressing, every day if you're doing something more, even if it's small, incremental progress, that's good. But every day we should be progressing. What you did in Krishna consciousness 1 year ago is not enough anymore. Now you need to do more. Isn't it? Even in exercise, if you're doing 10 minutes of running at the same speed, after 1 year, that same 10 minutes of running at the same speed, it won't give you the same benefit anymore. Now you have to do more because you're more fit. One boxer, he said, I only start counting the push-ups when it starts to hurt. So when it starts to hurt, then you can start counting. One, two, because that's where your growth time, isn't it? There's comfort zone. There's crisis zone, but in the middle of them, there's creative zone. So if you're in comfort zone, no growth. If you're in crisis zone, no sustainability. But if you're in creative zone, then you're pushing. So yes, you have to make improvements, and those improvements can't be too big, because otherwise you won't be able to maintain it. Therefore, generally, most people, when they go to a gym, they need a personal trainer because either they will do too less or they will do too much. So even in Krishna consciousness, therefore, you need association of devotees because they can tell you, no, calm down, you're doing too much, you just do this much. Or they say, hey, come on, you can do a little bit more. Why are you... Yes, Prabhu, I think after 1 year of chanting one round, I'm ready to do 1.5 rounds. No, you can do a little bit more than that. They can push you, at least do 2, maybe 4. So take the help of guidance to know what are those improvements and what are those extra things to do. Then you will make very good progress. Does that help?
Yes, but what if we are like, we're doing, going forward and then we're just stepping back and then we're going...
Yeah, that's not allowed.
No?
That's not allowed. If it happens, then it happens and you pick yourself up and go. But generally we should try to always make a vow in our life that once we get to a certain point, we never go below. Because that's how you build momentum. You see, like when an aeroplane is on the runway, what happens is it has to build up speed. And then at one point, if it builds up enough speed, then what happens? Then it can fly. But if you are like, if the plane is like, okay, go and then take the foot off the accelerator and then, okay, quickly put it on and then take it off and go, Purnima came, quickly put it on again and then off and then, oh, Rath Yatra, put it on and then off, then you'll never really take off, you see. So most devotees, we are not taking off in our spiritual life. Sometimes we say, but I've been here 30 years. It feels like I'm still on the runway. I didn't take off. It's not the number of years necessarily. It's the amount of effort and sustained momentum. You understand this word momentum, like growing the speed. So we have to try, whatever you do, try to maintain it. And grow, go further, go further, go further. And as you go further, then you'll go deeper. And as you go deeper, then Krishna will reveal more of His beauty to you. And then it all becomes very, very wonderful. Then at a certain point, you don't need anyone to push you. You will begin running. Radha, isn't it? You know Radha? You know what Radha means? Raga, raga dhavati. Raga means attachment and dhavati means to run. So another meaning of Srimati Radharani's name, Radha, means she who is running after her beloved, who she is so attached to. So right now we are not running to Krishna. Usually there's a few devotees at the back who are like, pushing us, like, you go, 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 go. And we're like, okay, relax, I'm going, I'm going, I'm going. But at one point, you're running. But we need to build up momentum. So Krishna consciousness is a great adventure, very, very exciting. Krishna is ready to reveal so many things of the spiritual world to you. But we have to become qualified. Krishna is ready. He's ready to open the gates to Vrindavan for you to enter. But we have to show that we want to be there. And if we don't, then we have to stay here. Then you have to come back again to Cologne. Monday morning, rain, traffic jams, arguments. All over again. Really? Want to do it all over again? Now we're going to go to Krishna. Okay, yeah, sorry, I'm going round and round. Yes.
Maharaj, thanks for bringing this nice metaphor with this flight.
Yes.
I think most of the time we stay on the runway because it's more safe, right? We don't have a fear of falling down. When we go up, then there is a fear that, oh, when we fall, we get the bruise and hurt and everything. And I like this answer that you gave in Goloka Dham. Fear is always there. So if you may elaborate on that for everyone also.
Yes, Sudama Prabhu, I'll just repeat because many may not have been in that class. Sudama Prabhu said, we have a fear sometimes. We have a fear of material life. We don't like the situation we're in. We know it's, you know, uncomfortable, but at the same time we have a fear of making more commitment in spiritual life. we don't know, maybe if I give up all of these things, what will happen? But I said, everything has fear. Yeah. It's fearful to move forward in spiritual life, but it's also fearful to just remain here in material life, because janma mrityu jara vyadi dukha dosha anudarshanam, it's all waiting. One person came to Srila Prabhupada once and he said, Swamiji, can you read my palm? So the devotees were thinking, my God, what kind of question is, you know? Prabhupada said, yes. So they thought, my God, Prabhupada's going to read his palm. We didn't know Prabhupada was did palmistry as well. It's all coming out today. So Prabhupada said, yes, come. So the person came. So Prabhupada took his hand to put it under the lamp. So now everyone came round. The pure devotee is going to read his palm. I mean, what could be more? So Prabhupada was looking. And then he looked at his lines and he said, very interesting. So everyone was thinking, what will he say? And then Prabhupada said, definitely, definitely. Definitely what? 5 sons, 50,000 pounds, what? Definitely what? I said, definitely, I can see in your palm, definitely. Birth, death, disease, old age. It's there. I said, oh Krishna, okay, yes, that's a fact. So we're fearful about taking a step in Krishna consciousness. But if you don't take a step in Krishna consciousness, all the fear is waiting for you here. One day we'll have to leave it all behind. Then what? Therefore Krishna says, Neha bhikrama naso sti pratyavayo navidyate svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. If you just advance a little bit on this path, you will be freed from fear. We think we're fearful about Krishna consciousness, but really we should be fearful of material life, because the world is not a nice place. You want to stay here? Devotees know. So many devotees, not just devotees, everyone in the world has to go through so many things. Wars, conflicts, famines, all kind of upheavals. In one day your life can just change like this. This world is so cruel. And we think, oh no, but I'm fearful of what will happen if I advance in Krishna consciousness. And we're not fearful of this world. Therefore actually Gita says, janma mrityu jara vyadi dukha dosha anudarshanam. If I tell you, tomorrow you should take darshan, then generally you think I'm telling you, come into the temple and take darshan of the deities. Generally that's what we think taking darshan means, isn't it? Come to see Krishna. But Bhagavad Gita says you should have a different type of darshan every single day. Every single day, definitely you should come and see Krishna. But every single day, janma mrityu jara vyadi dukha dosha anudarshanam, you should see that this material world is full of disease, death, old age, destruction, distress, depression. It's a hopeless place. So we should not be in any illusions. The world is not a nice place. When Srila Prabhupada was in New York, I think it was America somewhere, and he saw these garbage collection trucks. You know, they have a machine and they lift and they put the bin inside. So he had never seen it. I mean, in India, forget garbage trucks, no one comes to pick up, all the garbage is there. So he looked at the devotee and said, oh, what is this? So the devotee said, Prabhupada, this is like a garbage truck. They take all the rubbish. So they take all the bins and then they put it into the big bin. Also Prabhupada said, oh, they're putting all the rubbish in the bin? He said, yes, Prabhupada said, they should put the whole world in there. The whole world should go. It's not a nice place. a nice place at all. Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master used to say, the material world is no place for a gentleman or a gentle lady. It's so harsh, this world. So we need to go back to the real world. So don't be fearful. You're going to the place, Vaikuntha, where there's no anxiety. And Krishna says, on that journey, even if you don't make it, you will make it. But even if you don't make it, even then, neha bhikrama naso sti, there's no loss. You'll be protected from the greatest type of fear. Because if you don't make it, then Krishna will arrange in the next life, you just carry on. All of these wonderful young souls here, they were all born in devotee families, all of you. So that means you're right there, you've already done so much. You guys are at 80-90%, just another 10%. Krishna was very kind to you, you were born in a beautiful family. So yeah, some of us are like very far behind. Krishna is kind. Yes.
So Maharaj, I was working for a school of bhakti on different sampradayas, so I had some questions. So we say achinta beda beda. Making use of my system because
yes, that's fine.
So it says like the Lord and Jiva are qualitatively the same but quantitatively different. And I was kind of confused because Krishna has got 64 qualities and how can Jivas like us be?
So the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is achintya beda beda tattva. Simultaneously we are one with Krishna. Abheda, but simultaneously Bheda, we are different. So then the question comes, in what way are we the same as Krishna and what way are we different from Krishna? So here the explanation is given that we are the same with Krishna in quality, but we are different with Krishna in quantity. So how can we be the same in Krishna in quality if Krishna has 64 qualities, but even the Shastra says we don't hold a flute. Krishna holds a flute. That's one of his 64 qualities. Anyone here play the flute? No, you don't play the flute. So how do we have Krishna's qualities? When it says we are the same with Krishna in quality, it means we are Sat, Chit, Ananda, and Krishna is also? I should have said it the other way around. Krishna is Sat, Chit, Ananda, and we are also Sachit Ananda. We are eternal, Krishna is eternal. We are cognizant, aware, Krishna is also. Krishna is full of happiness, so are we. Right now we are not experiencing Sachit Ananda because we are in a body which is Asat, we are in a body which is Achit, and we are in a body which is Nirananda. Therefore we're covered. But in nature we are the same as Krishna. So when we say we're the same as Krishna in quality, it's in this sense, that we are both Sachit Ananda. But when we say we're different in quantity, then it means the quantity of Krishna's transcendental qualities. Krishna has many more than us. Krishna has 64, Vishnu has 60, and then Shiva has a certain number, and then the living entities have lower than them. This is all described by Rupa Goswami. So it makes sense. We are Sachit Ananda and so is Krishna. But he has more qualities, yeah.
I was kind of searching answers over the internet and getting confused, but I think it was very helpful. And one last question, Maharaj, is like Shastra has three main categories, right? One is like Dvaita, Advaita and Vishishta Advaita. And basically Veda has Veda Shruti, Abheda Shruti and Ghataka Shruti, I believe. And these three sampradayas are derived from these Vedas. So my thought is like, if we understand Vedas as one source of truth, Maharaj, how can there be three different perspectives?
Okay, very good question, yeah. So Vedas is one body of literatures. Why are there different sampradayas? Yeah, I'm going to repeat it, yeah. Vedas is one body of literature. So Prabhuji is asking, Satish is asking, why are then there different sampradayas who have different philosophies? For example, you have Advaita, which is impersonal. You have Vaishnav sampradayas, which are Dvaitavad. And even within Vaishnav sampradayas, you have different philosophies. Sri sampradaya is Vishishta Dvaita. Madhvacharya is Shuddha Dvaita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Chachintya Abheda Bheda. Okay, so everyone, let me just answer that and then you can come. One scripture, why are there many so-called different philosophies? First thing to understand is that these philosophies are not in conflict with each other. What these philosophies are doing is they are revealing different aspects of the truth. Three people went to a train station and they wanted to understand what is a train. So they saw in the distance there was light, there was sound, and there was some steam. And one person went away and he said, I know what a train is. It's light, sound, and steam. And then he left. The other two waited longer. The train came. The second person said, I know what a train is. Light, steam, sound, and there are carriages. And then he left. Third person stayed longer and he saw people coming out. He said, I know what a train is. Sound, light, steam, there are carriages, and it's taking people from one destination to another. Which of the three were right? All of them. But which was the most complete in their knowledge?
The last one.
So in the same way, different sampradayas or different teachings, what they are revealing to us is different aspects of the absolute truth. So some are focusing on the impersonal. Some are focusing on the Paramatma. Some are focusing on the personal form, but the majestic form of the personal, Vishnu. Some are focusing on the personal, but the intimate, so Krishna. So all of these is like different people are at different levels. Different people have different desires. Different people need a different route in order to elevate their spiritual consciousness. And therefore the Vedas is the most advanced theology in the world, because it doesn't say do this or go to hell. It says do this. If you don't want to do this, you can also do this. You can also do this. Oh, you want a house, you want lots of money, then okay, then worship this demigod. Options for everyone, so that everyone can start making that journey. But amongst those options, Krishna says, Yoginam api sarvesham madgaten antaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam sameyog tatamomataha. Of all the yogis, yoginam api sarvesham, of all the yogis, there is one type of yogi who is yukta tamaha. Yukta means connected, and tamaha means in the most intimate way. And who is that? Shraddhavan bhajate yomam, the one who with faith is rendering devotional service. So that is the culmination. Therefore, at the end of the Gita, after Krishna has given all the dharmas, then what does he say? Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam saranam. See? So Krishna, then you say, well, Krishna, if this was the conclusion, why didn't you just say in the beginning? Why did you then establish all these dharmas and then later? Because in the beginning, no one's ready. If he had said in the beginning, chapter 1, Sarva dharman parityaja, everyone would think, my God, this is too far, let me just try something else. So therefore Krishna says, yeah, so many things you can do, and then when you actually become wise, Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate, after many lives, when you become actually jnanavan, very wise, then what happens? Vasudeva sarvamiti, you realize Krishna is everything. And then prabhadyate, you surrender. Sa mahatma, such a great soul. Sudurlaba, very rare. Very rare. But you're already rare because you came here. So now you become more rare. you already defeated the odds by entering the Krishna consciousness movement. Now you have to defeat the odds again, and all of us, we have to try to take advantage. So does that answer the question? Is it okay?
Absolutely, Maharaj. By far the most, you know, simplest and easily understandable explanation I've heard. So thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you.
Maharaj, there are two questions from the devotees who are online.
Okay.
The first question from Garima Mataji is, some devotees who are dedicated to Krishna consciousness still have to suffer from severe diseases such as cancer. Does this mean they still have to go through some bad karma?
So, just to repeat the question, sometimes devotees have to go through very difficult situations. Does this mean they have some karma to overcome? It's like this. I'm going to say something. I don't know if all of you will have thought about it like this, but it's my duty to reveal this to you. When we took up the process of Krishna consciousness, you declared war on Maya. The day you took up this process of Krishna consciousness, you declared a war. I don't know, are you aware of that? You declared a war. You said to Maya, now I'm fighting against you. Now, if you go into the war and you just declare a war, and then after declaring the war, someone starts shooting at you and you say, oh, what's happening here? Why are they shooting? It's, well, you declared the war. You say, well, why are they shooting? Why are people so aggressive here? Why is there so much, you know? No, but you just declared a war. So when you declare a war, then you have to understand there's going to be some disturbance. So sometimes we think, I started practicing Krishna consciousness and then more and more problems came to me. Sometimes it's like that, because we declared war on the material energy. So then sometimes all of these things happen to us, but we can understand behind all of this is Krishna's hand. It's very, very difficult. It's easy to say, for me sitting here behind the mic, oh, it's all Krishna's grace. When someone is going through it, it's so difficult, it's so painful, it's so discouraging. But somehow or other, we have to deeply pray to Krishna and pray for the strength and the wisdom to realize that Krishna is sending me this because ultimately Krishna loves me and he wants me to come back to the spiritual world quicker. So sometimes Krishna sends very difficult tests. Devotees have to sometimes go through so much. But devotees are incredible. Devotees are amazing. Their life gets turned upside down, but then they just keep surrendering to Krishna. And they show that, yes, how Krishna's mercy in whatever form it comes can bring one closer to spiritual happiness. So yes, sometimes devotees may have to undergo health difficulties or difficulties in life. Is it their karma? Maybe. But nothing for a devotee is just karma. When you become a devotee, Krishna is directly involved in your life. So even if you have some karma, you can understand that Krishna's hand is there, dispensing your karma in a very specific way that will help you. So for a devotee, Krishna's hand is always there. And the art of life is to try to see how behind everything that's happening is Krishna's hand. It's very difficult because life is very tough. But if we can do it with the association of Vaishnavas, then we can advance very, very quickly. So what I could say.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Maybe this last question and then Everyone can take prasadam.
The second question is, how Krishna has 64 qualities and Vishnu has 60 qualities, although both are same personality, how come same person has 4 extra qualities?
So Krishna has 64 qualities, Rupa Goswami says Vishnu has 60. How is it, if they're the same personality, that Krishna has more qualities? So very simply, Srila Prabhupada would explain that Vishnu is God at work and Krishna is God at
home.
So Vishnu and Krishna, there's a famous verse in Shastra, Siddhantata Svabe Depi Shrisha Krishna Svarupayo Rasenaut Krishyate Krishna Rupamesha Rasastiti. Siddhanta Tvastvabedepi, in Siddhanta, in identity, Abede, there's no difference between Shri Isha, the controller of Shri Narayan or Vishnu, Krishna. There's no, in identity, there's no difference between Krishna and Vishnu. But Rasanaut Krishyate Krishna Rupamesha Rasa Stiti, in Rasa, in relationship, in character, in sweetness, there is a difference. Because Krishna is God at home, and God at home is bringing out qualities that He doesn't bring at work. If you start acting at work, how you act at home, you may get fired. You can't just imagine you turn up to work and then you just put your shorts on and you just like, you know, say, what are you doing? You can't act like this at work. But then when you go home, you be free. You do what you want to do. So when Krishna, God, comes home, then He starts doing things. He starts playing the flute. Rupa Madhurya. He starts showing aspects of His beauty. Prema Madhurya. He starts having all of this loving interaction. Leela Madhurya. He starts going out in the middle of the night and meeting certain individuals and dancing with them when no one else knows and everyone else is asleep. This is Krishna. So Krishna, because He's at home, He's free. At home, you're free. At work, there's some formality. So therefore, Krishna is... these are the four qualities. Venu Madhurya, Krishna plays a flute. Rupa Madhurya, Krishna has a beautiful form. Prema Madhurya, Krishna displays a type of love. And Leela Madhurya, Krishna has certain exchanges of divine play, divine interaction that even Vishnu doesn't have. So yes, Krishna. Therefore the gopis were, isn't it? One time Krishna, he dressed up as Vishnu and he came to a place called Paita. Paita is near Govardhan. You can go to that place. So he wanted to play a trick on the gopis. So the gopis were walking. There was Krishna. He manifested two more arms, Vishnu. So the gopis saw, Om Namo Narayana, Om Namo Narayana. They started offering all respects. So the gopis said, nice to meet you. Can you tell us where Krishna is? So Krishna is Vishnu. Krishna is dressed as Vishnu. So Krishna said, yes, yeah, he went that way, you go. So then they walked. And then Radharani came. And when Radharani came in front of Krishna, with love in her eyes, intensity, searching in separation from Krishna, said, Narayan, where is Krishna? And her love was so powerful that Krishna immediately, two arms disappeared. And immediately Krishna was exposed, because Radharani's love was so great that even Krishna couldn't maintain his Vishnu form. Krishna said, oh my God, where's it going? I've been exposed. Yes. This is the power of Srimati Radharani's love. So, yes, this is the difference. Okay, I see the time. It's 8 o'clock.
Maharaj, on this, just to confirm my understanding. So, when the Lord is appearing as Lord Ramchandra or Narasimha Deva, So he is fully identical to Krishna in the identity. When he's doing the pastimes, he's manifesting only some of the...
Yes. No, yeah, so Ram... So it's like this. Krishna has many avatars. And they are all Vishnu Tattva. Some are Yuga avatars, some are Leela avatars, some are Purusha avatars. These are all Karna Dakshaya Vishnu. These are all the same. All Vishnu Tattva. Of all of the avatars, Rupa Goswami says that Krishna, Ram and Nrisingadev are the primary objects of worship for the Gaudiyas. Why? Because Ram, Krishna and Nrisingadev are showing a very special type of interaction with their devotees, Bhakta Vatsalya, a very special friendship. Therefore, they are considered more. But of all of them, we worship Krishna. Because Krishna, in Krishna, the madhurya, the sweetness is coming out more. Nrisingadev is Krishna, but the sweetness may be... Once there was a the new person, you know they have the Nrisingadev picture, the fierce one. So a new person came into the temple, completely new. So a devotee was taking him around and he said, everything is so sweet. And then he said, what is this? He said, is this some big demon looking at Nrisingadev? He said, no, that's the God, that's the good one. That's God? He said, what is this? And the devotee said, this is what happened to the last person who refused to give a donation. So the person thought, Hare Krishna, I give a donation. He was joking with him, of course. So Nrisingadev is very... Nrisingadev is very fierce, no? Very fierce. Actually, when the painter painted that picture, you know, the famous one of Nrisingadev, he came to check it with Srila Prabhupada. Like, is this okay? Prabhupada said, very good. More blood. More blood. More blood. Prabhupada said, it should be more. Fierce. Ugram viram mahavishnum jalantam sarvato mukham. Ugram. So we take shelter, but the sweetness. And Ram, of course, very nice, but still the sweet. Ah, he banished Sita Devi. Ooh, that's very hard. That's very hard. Maryad, because he's Maryad Purushottam. He has to show a good example. So sometimes the sweetness is little in the background. Example is more in the front. But in Krishna, he doesn't care. He will break all the rules. He will break all the rules. Sweetness is the most important.